This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
7:36 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run with Melissa Chuang and Joyce, and we're ready to take a look at global markets. So market sentiment has worsened in recent days, with Pakistan seeking IMF help amid rising US interest rates and a US-China trade tiff that is fast escalating into a full-blown trade war. So will this and other and worsening US-China trade tensions tip ASEAN into oblivion? We're going to ask Dodge Dolan about this. He is the Chief Investment Officer of Land Fuse Capital Managers, and he joins us now from New York. Good morning, Dodge. Thanks for joining us once again. Now, do you think Pakistan's decision to start bailout talks with the IMF heightens contagion risk in global emerging markets? And that includes Malaysia and ASEAN as well.
Yes, good morning. Well, yes, it does. I mean, if you look at it individually, they do need a bigger sum this year to avoid a balance of payments crisis and stabilize their wobbling economy, which has been hurt by a shortage of dollars and a ballooning current account plus fiscal deficit. So they really do need this. One of the challenges, and it may affect the rest of the emerging markets, the IFM is likely to demand painful structuring reforms that, and this is the... There will be a clash with the political agenda of the new prime minister, who on his campaign trail vowed to build an Islamic welfare state. So this is going to be a tough one. Going to the IMF in absolute terms is a positive trigger because it removes the underlying causes for concern. But it does raise the impact and across the other emerging markets. We're already seeing the EEM, the EFT that represents the EM, is now trading under 2018 lows on Pakistan contagion fears. But we're a little bit more conservative and cautious about this. We're watching. First, we will watch to see what happens to India, and then we'll see if, as trade talks, et cetera, start to improve or move forward, whether it does create more contagion. But yes, the perception is now that it does open contagion fears, and we're already seeing it in the markets.
So I guess it's not too far a stretch, Dodge, to assume that Asian markets will be either neutral or turn downwards, especially given the fact that also the fact that American T-bills have breached the multi-year levels of resistance as well. So that's another potential spot on the horizon.
Yes, it is. And it's closer to your home. Japan's bond market is on the cusp of triggering a catalyst for billions of dollars of inflows. The yield on their 30-year JGBs rose half a basis point to 0.94% yesterday, and if it gets to 1%, it's pretty close, local institutional investors there may shift some of their $2.4 trillion in overseas debt holdings back home. Their 30-year last traded in that high back in February of 2016. So there's a lot of fluctuation going on in currencies, not just with the U.S. dollar, but also closer to home.
Dodge, it appears that traders are back on the U.S.-China trade watch, sentiment described as a middling. What do you think about that?
True and false. Middling overall, yes, but I see a much wider diversity of sentiment and trading results from it. There is more of a negative sentiment shorter term, and the term of the short term is now lengthening as the perception of it will take longer to come to a satisfactory conclusion for both sides is perceived. Longer term, there is more a positive optimism that there will be a settlement that will be positive for U.S., China, and the world. But the term of that, where the positive sentiment comes in, is on the longer term. Overall, yes, it's middling, but from a trading perspective, from a market perspective, it is much more, you have to really watch it closer, and you have to define where you're looking, short, long term, and what part of the world you're looking at.
Dodge, what's driving that positive sentiment that an agreement will be reached? I mean, what's the possibility or the chance of a possible train wreck on the negotiation front? And how would that impact global markets?
Train wreck, I don't think we're going to have a train wreck. There will be a stop, yes. Now, when you look at the trade war and when you define it purely as a trade war, yes, there's going to be economic pain short term. The U.S. apparently appears to be willing to take that in order to right what they see as wrong in terms of technology, theft, etc. But overall, I think that there is a greater balance of power in the negotiations, both in terms of the economic risk that both now are facing and the world is facing, and also the understanding and really the pointing to the more the technology, the more non-trade items that are on the table. So I think train wreck is less likely now over the longer term. I do think shorter term there will be more pain in the trade part of what is going on. So yes, it's going to be painful. I don't think a train wreck is to me is much longer term, has a much longer term impact than I expect what's going on now to have.
Doctor, despite best efforts by PBOC, the yuan is still weak. What's your outlook for that?
It's kind of interesting because just a couple of weeks ago, the perception is China's buying less from the United States than the other way around and is running low on American products to target, and so there was raising speculation that what other measures it could take, that China could take to hit back, and one of them was with regard to the yuan. But that was perceived as a tactic that China was going to use. Now what we're seeing is that China appears to be weaker and that they don't have as much control over the perception of the strength of their currency. An indicator that's produced by Beijing-based business school in the style of the closely watched Purchasing Managers Index plunged actually last month, adding to concerns about the slowing economy. And they're raising the question of whether Chinese business conditions may be worse than official statistics show. That is the CKGSB Business Conditions Index, which is compiled by the Cheung Kong Graduate School of Business. It dropped to the lowest level in this seven-year history. So now there's a perception that the weakening Chinese yuan is not caused by a diplomatic policy, a tactic, but is actually caused by weakness. And so now we're beginning to see the need for China to come to grips with the situation and perhaps come to the table. And we're already seeing the negotiations becoming more political in process, where the U.S. officials have warned China that Donald Trump will not engage in trade talks without Xi at the next month's G20 summit if Beijing does not produce, etc. And they've really started to come down to real tactic negotiations. That is a plus.
Dodge, if I could bring us back to the U.S. Now, we're actually just a few weeks away from the U.S. midterm elections. Should investors start pricing in political risk already, if any at all?
No. Yes and no. Yes, there is political risk, but which way is it? And it's very hard to price it in because it could be positive, it could be negative. And right now, I think what we're seeing, and this is leading to our volatility, our market volatility, and the perception, we just got through this trade war with Canada and Mexico, and that came together. And so what we're seeing now is that there's greater strength in the big caps and more weakness in the small caps, which were really focused on their trade within the United States, and that's no longer a necessity. So we're seeing a changing in our U.S. markets caused by the perception of where we're going. It's going to be very hard to come up with a political risk before the our midterms. We suspect that after the midterms, that's when the negotiations are going to become really serious. Until then, it's political.
Well, thank you so much for your insights, Dodge. That was Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer at Lando & Fuse Capital Managers in New York. After this, a closer look at the government's plan to introduce new taxes to pare down the massive national debt. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.